This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecock, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders!
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios, the preferred sign partner of your South Carolina Gamecocks. Signorama.com, Gamecock owned and Gamecock operated. We are served, of course, by Chicken Cock Bourbon and built by the Barn Do Co. Your dream home can be built for as low as $160 per square foot in the Carolinas and Georgia or in Tennessee. The BarnDominiumCo.com. It is almost the weekend. Well, it is for me today. I'm off tomorrow. Chicken Cock Bourbon is waiting in the wings and on deck for what's to come over the next few days, which is the Final Four, both the men and the women. And of course, a big series coming up this weekend in Founders Park with Gamecock Baseball. They were beaten soundly last night, 8-0 by the Georgia Southern Eagles. Pretty non-competitive ball game, really, for Carolina, but they'll look to rebound. The last time number 3 came to town, it was pretty good news for Carolina. So we'll certainly get into some of that today. Chad Holbrook will be here in just a little while. They've got a couple of chin musics coming out next week, so this is going to be interesting. Chad's joining us from the bus because the College of Charleston is on the road. He said, I hope you don't hear what's going on behind me. I said, hell, it'll probably make it better.
I was going to say, are we going to have to change the content rating on this episode?
Yeah. So, we'll see what he's got to say, but we'll have some fun with him. You're kind of in that time of the year where we certainly have plenty of stuff to talk about always, especially with South Carolina. But there are other things that kind of magically come up from time to time that are really unique, and they don't get enough love. And we all love food. And one of them is exactly how crazy food has gotten at Major League Baseball parks across the country. There's a new list out. And you've got the photos, right, Phil? You got the photos?
Oh, yeah. I got three of them loaded and ready to go, man. Yeah.
Okay. So we've got a couple we'll share with you today, and we'll probably be able to trickle this stuff in from time to time throughout the summer. If you're going to a Major League Baseball, are any of you going to a Major League Baseball game? Like, do you have plans? I know, like, in my family, I would love to try to pull it off and get over to Atlanta, but I've got cousins every year. That's a trip they make. they go to Atlanta on a Thursday night and they come back on Sunday. They catch a couple games. And now, of course, they spend time running around over there at the Battery and things of that nature. Any of you planning to go somewhere this summer where you figure I'll take in a ball game while I'm there? If you are, let me know. Because maybe we've got a food for you if you're going to one of these ballparks. We've also got Brad Muller coming up at noon, and he will preview the Final Four for South Carolina women's basketball up in Cleveland. We've got the men, of course. Matt Anderson will be here today to talk about all of that. UConn had a difficult time getting out there. Their plane broke down, and they didn't get in until 3:10 this morning. But they're there, and they're working with the NCAA to adjust their practice schedule, and sure they will. They should, because it's Final Four. You might want to accommodate if a plane breaks down. Also, there's a pretty crazy proposal for college football, basically separating the haves and the have-nots. We're going to try to get into plenty of that today as well. So if you've noticed, there is no JC today. He's got some doctor's appointments and they've got some family stuff going on, and our thoughts and prayers are with Nat and her family. And JC will be rejoining tomorrow. I'll be off tomorrow, but JC will be in here. And shoot, Stuart will be here tomorrow. Who else you got tomorrow? Isn't there someone else coming up?
Coach Lake, and we got Isaac Trotter, the 24/7 basketball guy, to preview the men's Final Four as well. Talk about some teams there, and
I like him.
Get his thoughts on what he's hearing. I do too about the Gamecocks program here.
Yeah, I like him. So that'll be a good conversation. Looking forward to getting him in. So, anyways, hopefully you'll stick around. It's going to just the next 4 or 5 days in this state, from the coast to the mountains and everywhere in between, the weather just, you just can't beat it. Like, this is real spring weather right here. It's just spectacular. So I hope you all get out. I know tomorrow night with the ladies tipping off at 7 o'clock against NC State, baseball being played at 7. If you want to go to the baseball game, obviously you want to watch the women's game. If you got YouTube TV or if you've got the ESPN app, you can watch it on your phone while you're there. But a great weekend to take in some baseball. I wish I could make it to Columbia and do that. I'll be up there for the Arkansas series and for the spring game and the Big Spur golf tournament on that Monday as well. If any of you want to play in the Big Spur golf tournament, you need to go to thebigspur.com and you can register your foursome. And that's going to be a lot of fun. John Whittle is heading that up. He's done a fantastic job. Yesterday it was announced, and on Monday it could be history, but yesterday announced Dawn Staley named the 2024 Werner Ladder Naismith Coach of the Year. The Atlanta Tip-Off provided that information just before 4 o'clock. It's the fourth time that she has earned this award. She's used to it. However, she has become the first men's or women's coach to pick up this award 3 consecutive seasons. So hats off to Dawn Staley being named the Naismith National Coach of the Year. We'll find out on Monday if Lamont Paris will be able to join her in sharing that title as Coach of the Year. If he is, Phil, we hit on this a couple of weeks ago. If he is, this will be the first time in the history of college basketball that the Naismith Women's Coach of the Year and the Naismith Men's Coach of the Year would come from the same school. Do you have a feel on this? Do you think he can pull it off?
He's well deserving of it, and definitely in well deserving of being in the Final Four. My heart wants it so bad, but I feel like they should have won one game. I feel like they should have won one tournament game, and that may have just because of the other 3 that are in there. I don't think they'll give it to Hurley, what is it? The Utah State coach, I think, is the one that I'm thinking. Isn't that? I'm trying to figure. I can't remember his name. But there was another coach who had kind of an unlikely season, kind of like Coach Lamont did. But I think they did win a tournament game, and his name just happens to escape me right now. But I think that's the guy who's going to end up winning.
Yeah. You had.
I'm trying to.
Now I've forgotten. I know.
I know. I can't Google fast enough.
There it is. Now I've got it. Obviously, yeah. Dan Hurley and then Kelvin Sampson. I knew them. TJ Ulzenberger from Iowa State was the
Iowa State.
Finalist.
Iowa State. Yeah. That's TJ Ulzenberger. Yeah. I think he may end up getting it.
You think? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you never know. Listen, what Coach Paris did this year more than qualifies him to win this award. And, you know, perhaps the voters are going to think, you know, hey, let's make a little history and, you know, just claim South Carolina's coaches as the two best in the game this year and then see how it shakes out next. So that's always an option. You never know where the voters' heads are at.
Yeah. I think that Lamont's got a better chance than a lot of us. A lot of us maybe think that he does. And I'll tell you why, because there's not a lot of respect for South Carolina. That's why. And if that makes sense, like I think that the voters, I'm not saying that he'll win it, but I'm not so sure that he will be dismissed either, because folks don't view this program as being capable of really doing anything. Like I think that as much of a miracle as it still seems that it was a miracle that they went to the Final Four in 2017. You can put that on steroids when it comes to the way that the national media and voters and things like that view South Carolina's basketball program. So what I'm getting at here is I think that the fact that he took this team into almost to the top 10 record-wise, tied for second in the league. I know they were the fifth seed, but tied for second in the league from a record standpoint. And then got into the NCAA tournament. Phil, I really do think that if he doesn't win it, he'll probably end up being the second guy if he doesn't win it.
Like, I think so.
He won't be fourth.
Yeah, no. There's no way he's coming in fourth. Not amongst that group. I mean, you know what Hurley's done is not, you know, as impressive as what Coach Paris was able to put together and do here at South Carolina. And just like you said, it's relative to expectations, I think, from the program as well as, you know, preseason. And that's a lot to be said for being second, even though in a four-way tie in the SEC, for sure.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's got to mean something.
In this league? Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look what it did. Mm-hmm. Look what he did. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So we'll see. We'll find out on Monday. But again, for the first time ever. I mean, let that sink in for a second. This is never. There's two things that can never happen here, or that have never happened. One, two coaches from the same school win it, and the other thing has just happened as of yesterday. Dawn Staley, the only coach ever in the history of college basketball to win three in a row, from the Naismith folks. So I mean, just crazy success for her, and hats off to Dawn Staley. They'll tip at 7 tomorrow night. Brad's coming up in 45 minutes and we'll get his reaction to this news as well, but clearly we'll be looking at the Final Four. I'm anxious to see what he has felt since he's been in Cleveland far as the conversations we've been having the last couple of days, this program, how it's being viewed in conjunction with the other four that are there, Caitlin Clark, the story, Gino, the old man, NC State, the, you know, kind of the Cinderella story. And I've gotten some pushback on this a little bit this week. And the fact that we've kind of called them, I'm talking about NC State, Cinderellas. Well, I mean, they are. Like, I know that typically you don't view a three seed as a Cinderella. I get that. That's kind of nonsense. It's kind of insane. But in the women's game, with what you've got, like with what the storylines were, and the fact that NC State came out of the fourth regional and was played in Portland, Texas as the one seed, Stanford as the two seed, the fact that they're there and they're fourth on the list from an attention standpoint with all the other storylines, it kind of makes them the Cinderella. Forget the seed. And NC State has a long, storied history of women's basketball. I'm aware of that. Debbie Antonelli is a dear friend of mine. So I get it. But they weren't considered coming into this tournament as some threat to win the national championship by 9 out of 10 people who cover the sport way more than we do. And they certainly weren't one of the main storylines coming in. Now, the men's a different story, as we all well know. But so when you take this thing, like if you wanted to write the perfect script would have had, obviously, had they not screwed up the seating, LSU, Iowa, probably UConn and South Carolina in there, or Tara Vanderveer going after some other crazy record. She's coached forever and never ages. Or some other version of having LSU in there, right? But yeah. NC State was never in any of those conversations. They just weren't. And and so they kind of are Cinderella in this instance.
Yeah, I think some people are equating the you can't be a power 5-6 in the case of basketball and be a Cinderella, which I would say is an argument that holds true on the men's side of things. But there's not nearly as much parity when it comes to women's basketball, and a team that does have a rich history, I think, who's been kind of wandering around for a bit, if you will, making this happen as the seed that they did, can kind of qualify for that. I think Cinderella is more like an unlikely story that happens. You don't necessarily have to fit any sort of mold, if you will.
I agree.
I mean, you know, yeah, they're not a mid-major. So I think now, like, for instance, I would never call what NC State's doing on the men's side of things a Cinderella story. A, you played your way in there and won your conference title. I think that kind of takes it away from you anyway. And then the fact that you are a Power Six school when it comes to basketball and one with a championship history is just kind of disqualifies you from that, especially when you have mid majors who can make these runs and, you know, get this far.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I agree with you there, and that's okay to agree and to disagree. You know,
that's true.
I think that NC State is a Cinderella, not just because of the 11 seed, but because they've kept this whole ordeal up. I mean, Kevin Keats, like, we're talking about 3 weeks ago, they were planning to fire this guy. And and then, you know, he wins the tournament, and then, oh, great, they stole a bid. Awesome, they stole a bid. But they're not going to the Final Four. Like, great. So they knocked somebody out. Who'd they knock out? You know, was it St. John's? Did they keep St. John's from getting into the tournament? Was it Indiana State? I don't know. Probably one of those two teams. So somebody in that group that didn't get in. But either way, it was nonsense to think, well, whoever fills that spot there, that they're running to the Final Four. But yet here we are. So I would consider them that. But to each his own, and I understand what you're saying. I do disagree with this, and we'll move on. When you hear that, well, you can't be a Cinderella if you're a Power Five, BS. South Carolina was a Cinderella as a 7 seed. I mean, the country was pulling for the Gamecocks. The country is pulling for North Carolina State this week.
Right. Like, Cinderella story. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I am too, just, you know, for any number of reasons, but for the fact that, yeah, they are the unlikeliest of the Final Four. I mean, and they're fun to watch. They got, you know, a team that doesn't necessarily fit a mold with a few players that don't. I think, you know, it's a really great product. But yeah, I think just the argument over whether or not any Power Five team could be, I think you're correct in that, and that you can have some Cinderella stories there. I just think it's a harder mountain to climb because of the available resources to schools like that to be able to qualify as a Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good point. It's 11:20 here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Resto Pros of the Midlands presents our coverage of Carolina baseball throughout the season. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. If you've had an unfortunate situation where you've had fire damage or water damage or something like that, it sucks, doesn't it? That just sucks. We've all been there. Nobody wants to deal with it, and it's a lot easier to deal with somebody that, A, knows how to deal with it, and can get you through the entire process, not just clean it up and get out of there and you don't hear from them again, or somebody who overcharges you, or somebody who's there seemingly forever. These people are thorough. They're good. They're Gamecock supporters. They're very competitively priced, and there's a reason why they're the best. There's a reason why there's so many locations. There's a reason why they grow 10 times every day. And we sure hope you, and they do too, that you don't have to go through those things. But if you do, Jeff Sturgis's team's got your back, and you can head to RestoProsMidlandsSC.com, or maybe just save it. Keep that in your head. Keep in the back of your head. If you ever have a business situation or a home situation that you need taken care of, these guys, they're going to get you through it, including the insurance, because that can be a pain in the rear end. Pretty sorry performance last night for the Gamecocks, falling 8-0 to Georgia Southern. And so now they'll turn their attention to the weekend and try to recoup against the third-ranked Texas A&M Aggies. Carolina now 21-8 overall. It's their first midweek loss of the season. And none of it worked last night. The pitching staff has really struggled dating back to the middle of last week, Phil, to be quite honest with you. Giving up 14 to PC. They had a hell of a start on Thursday from Eli Jones, and then just couldn't hold on to it. Of course, that's really more on the offense and the defense than anything last Thursday. Late in the game Friday, it ballooned, giving up 13 runs. They gave up 8 late. A lot of those late runs on Saturday against Bama, but held on to win. And then 8 runs last night, and that was keyed by a grand slam from Southern to put them up 5-0, and they would just continue to tack on there. I haven't heard anything on Eddie Copper. Interested to find out what's going on. I think Coach Kingston probably will have a report, I would imagine, at some point in time today. So we'll see if that trickles out. And then behind that, it just wasn't very good. Offensively, they just had pretty poor at bats. I think it wasn't very good for a while, but where it turned to frustrating in the ball game was when they were down 5-0 and Parker Nolan hit a single to lead it off, I think in the sixth, and Messina had a 3-0 count as the two hole hitter. And then it goes 3-1, which is fine. And then he somehow rolls over a 3-1 changeup. They turn a double play, and then Kenny Jones takes a call third strike. He just can't happen. It just can't happen. You know, that's just not good. And Monty Lee and Mark Kingston know that as well as anybody, but can't happen. And that's where it went from, okay, can they climb their way out of this thing, to it's not going to be their night. And that was kind of the show of that. But so pretty sorry, pathetic performance on a Wednesday night. And that kind of stinks. There was a really special moment before the game. I had been contacted a couple of weeks ago by a mutual friend about this story, and it was about a guy, and some of you maybe know him, named Scott Dinkins. And Scott is the pastor at Chapin Presbyterian with a large family, a wife and kids, and their house burnt down, and they lost everything. Just awful. And all of you, if you consider yourself a big time Gamecock fan, well, picture yourself in his shoes, because that's exactly who Scott Dinkins is. And so this group of friends has kind of rallied behind him to try to continue to help him get out of this ordeal and work towards, you know, getting their lives put back together. He's a man of Christian faith, of course, as a pastor at the Presbyterian Church out there in Chapin. And so I was asked to get in touch with Coach Kingston and see if maybe they'd be willing to sign a baseball. And Coach Kingston actually went beyond that, invited him down to the field before the game, and has continued to kind of check in with anything that Gamecock baseball can do to support their family. So very thankful for that, in a time of just difficulty, if that didn't even touch the surface of it. So our thoughts and prayers are with the Dinkins family. If any of you know them, I don't know them personally. I hope to get to know Scott, but a really, really tough time for them. And thanks to Mark Kingston and Gamecock Baseball for accommodating him last night at Founders Park. It was a neat moment, and really, really appreciative for some things are just bigger than baseball. And that one certainly is. So thanks to Coach for helping pick up some of the crumbs for Scott Dinkins and his family. All right, it's 11:27. It is Thursday, April the 4th. We will step aside for a timeout. Still have Brad Moeller with an awesome preview coming up of the Women's Final Four. Matt Anderson, we've got a lot of college football to get to as well, and some crazy food stuff coming up here in just a little bit. But we missed Chad Holbrook last week. We had shortened our work week, so we had to kind of do some different things, and we're going to run the gamut with him. It's always great to have Coach on. He's going to be from the bus as they're hitting the road to, shoot, I forget where they're going. Maybe Wilmington? I can't remember. But they are going on the bus. So look forward to getting him. Hang tight. ITG will be right back.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, three great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater. Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams, or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs, or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
The season rolls on at Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. Rev up your season with Love's exclusive specials on Suburbans, Tahoes, Silverados, Trailblazers, and the ever-popular Chevy Trax. They're hard to find. At Love Chevy, get behind the wheel and feel the possibilities. New adventures, new destinations, just you and the open road. Act now for Springtacular Savings at Love Chevrolet, the best selection of new Chevys, the lowest price, guaranteed. The other dealers upsell, overcharge, and will say most anything to get the sale. At Love Chevy, satisfied customers say it all. Things like helpful, knowledgeable, honest, and fun. Your trusted hometown Chevy dealer since 1961. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
That's the power of love. Love Chevy.
Hey, Gamecock fans. This is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour.
I can hear you. Fastball.
Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Hey, Gamecock Nation. My name is Kyle, longtime listener of the show and avid golfer. I wanted to take my game to the next level, but let's face it, golf is a hard game to learn on your own. I heard the ad from McKellar Enterprises and reached out to the owner and former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. In just 2 months of working with Meredith, I shot my lowest round ever, and I've never felt more confident in my golf game. So if you're looking to take your game to the next level, go to McKellarEnterprises.org and book your lesson today with former Gamecock golfer, Meredith Taylor. Go Gamecocks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
By me. Yeah, I love when somebody comes in having a tough day. Like, if you come in after a loss, I love to change your day. That's our biggest goal. You know, that's our biggest thing. We want our managers to, you know, like, you're coming to our house to let it go, let go of all your stuff you had going on that day, and we can change your day. I mean, people might have struggled with business for the day, but once they get it all, they just relax and enjoy and let us take care of the show.
I always say that life's so hard outside. I mean, you know, think about it, you know, all the work day and then coming, you know, parking. Maybe they got a date, anniversary, and they're, the guy, the pressure on the guy or the girl, entertain clients, entertain your boosters. I mean, all that stuff happens. And then for us to sit there and let us take care of you, like, that's, you know, that's a lost art. You can't Amazon that. You know, you can't, you know, you can't do that from home. To go out and get dressed up and come to a nice fine dining restaurant, it's a lost art. And we want to keep that special, keep it unique. And but, you know, all your worries are gone. Sit down in our seat and look at our house. And it's our job. We want to make you feel good.
Mm. Making me hungry. That episode is one of many that is up right now on the Chief Sports app, part of the Chin Music Podcast, hosted by
he is on the bus
hosted
look
by
at that.
Chad Holbrook on the bus.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing?
Doing well.
Did you intentionally blur the background out so we couldn't see what the boys are doing?
I'm a veteran, savvy veteran. You know, savvy. I don't want some fool to embarrass us all back there. You know,
yeah.
But no, we're loading up the bus, heading up the coast, and getting ready to go. And hopefully play well this weekend against Wilmington. So we're certainly going to have to because they got an awfully good team.
It's going to be, I think, good weather up there, too. This is going to be a great weather weekend for baseball. Probably the best one we've had of the year
thus far. Yeah, we've been blessed. We had a 75-degree day on Tuesday against Georgia Southern, and we've been wet here or there a little bit. But overall temperatures for college baseball season, I'll sign up for what we've had thus far.
Did you hear that Dawn Staley just won her third consecutive Naismith Coach of the Year award?
Nope.
That's crazy.
Incredible. And but her resume, man, I mean, just as a player, all that she's accomplished, not only as a coach, but as a player, as an Olympian, as a WNBA player, amazing. What an amazing career she's had. And, She's certainly the odds-on favorite to top it off with another national championship as well.
You think they'll win it?
I mean, I wouldn't want to play them. if there's another team out there that can beat them, I don't know if I've seen them yet. But anything can happen on any given day or any one game scenario. But you certainly like their chances, right? And kudos to her because everybody thought initially it was going to be a little bit of a rebuild with all they lost last year, but hey, they may be even better than they've been in the last year or so. So she's the best, man. She's incredible, incredible leader, incredible coach, and incredible personality, tough. Learned a lot from her. She's taught me a whole heck of a lot. I'm grateful that I'm a friend with her and we share a friendship, and I'm pulling hard for her to win another one.
All right, so let me ask you this. So the Iowa LSU game the other day it averaged over 12 million viewers, which is the most viewed women's basketball game ever. And it beat every Major League Baseball game last season. I think did we lose him a little bit? Did we lose him or just the
I think just the video, hopefully. He's probably in passing through some dead zones or who knows. Nope, we lost him. He's back.
There hang in. I think we'll get in better service here as we, you know, I'll be okay. I'm hotspotting it. But, Jamie, you were asking me about Iowa.
Yeah, so the other night, Iowa and LSU, they over 12 million people. Most watched women's game ever. It beat every Major League Baseball game, every NBA game except for one, every NHL game. I mean, it blew the doors off of everything. College football, for the most part, except for a couple of games here and there. I think the only thing it didn't top is the NFL. Jen, your wife, obviously played college basketball. Women's college basketball has come incredibly far as exposure and the amount of support that it's getting. The product is better. People are paying attention. This is kind of a hard question, and I'm probably putting you on the spot here. But what do you think that, in addition to the storylines and the players, Caitlin Clark was the story. LSU, they're villains. That was a story. But in addition to that, what do you think women's basketball has done so well, and what could college baseball maybe copycat? I'm not saying that college baseball will get to 12 million viewers for a College World Series game, but to be able to continue to grow the game on a platform, like what would be good for college baseball that they can mimic?
Well, I hope y'all can hear me. I lost you a little bit there, but I think I understood what you were asking me. I think, one, college women's basketball is in such an incredible position because of the personalities involved. And I think the media has done an incredible job of showcasing the personalities. I mean, Caitlin Clark's story is incredible. There's a lot of incredible players in women's basketball that have great stories. The girl from Connecticut, what a story for her coming back from injury as well. I mean, and if you had to say, hey, what's the blueprint for college baseball? You know, we have great personalities in college baseball as well, but our nation and a lot of people that follow us might not know all those personalities involved. So if you had to ask me what would be the first step, showcase the personalities involved in our game. I think that's what's been done in women's basketball to a degree, and it's been incredible play. I mean, you can't have great personalities and not incredible talent. They have both, obviously, and the storylines have been incredible as well. So it's been a lot of fun to watch. Jen and I were locked in at tip-off the other night, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And a lot of that was because of, I want to see how good Caitlin Clark plays. I want to see, the personality conflicts between her and Angel Reese. And it was great TV. It was great theater. And it was because of great play and great personalities and incredible coaches as well.
Yeah, I see. College baseball and college softball had this figured out long before everybody else did. Because college baseball goes to Omaha every year. That's the home. And college softball, of course, goes to Oklahoma City every year. And so, like, Debbie Antonelli well. We know Debbie. We love Debbie. Debbie's a brilliant mind and an incredible advocate for the entire sport of basketball, not just women's. She has said something for a long time that I agree with her on. She says that the Sweet 16 on the ladies' side should be played every year in Vegas. And the exposure and all the different storylines, everybody being in one spot, Coach, it would, like you just pointed out, it would bring out a lot of personality. College baseball's got that. Is there anybody in the country that knows their way around Omaha better than you? You've been there six or seven times. So, like, you know, it's what takes place there. I would just like to see this sport be able to continue to capitalize. We've got all this TV exposure, all this money, you know, all these things. And I find it interesting. Like, you could have never dreamed of 12 million people watching women's college basketball if you went back 10 years or 20 years. And in 10 years, I'd like to be having the same conversation about the College World Series.
You know, and I hear you. And I think there's going to be some ebb and flow. I think there are going to be some years where college baseball and college softball is more popular than other years. And it's probably going to be the same for women's basketball as well. I think you're making some great points. I mean, you know, everyone knew in 10 and 11 who Michael Roth was and Scott Wingo was and Jackie Bradley Jr. was but the exposure came late. The exposure comes in Omaha. And I think, you know, women's basketball did this year. The personalities were showcased the entire regular season. There were some rifts here and there amongst the coaches. Obviously, there's great rivalries between Dawn and Coach Mulkey. And there is, you know, and Gino. I mean, there's incredible coaches. There's Hall of Fame coaches. There's incredible players that have incredible futures. They're great personalities. There's some rivalries there that create people that want to see it. And my hat's off to them. It's been an incredible season to follow. And I watch all of Dawn's games, and not because I want to see how much they win by or if they win. I want to see how she leads her team. And it's learn a lot from each other. And I don't think there's competition to me, between women's basketball and college baseball. I just think we can learn from each other. In our years in which we were at the top, we were closely followed, and now we can learn from them because of the media and the attention that they're getting because of incredible personalities and incredible play. It's been a true joy to watch from my end.
All right. On the men's side of this, now you have to coach baseball this weekend, so it's not like you're going to be able to just sit in front of the TV the whole time. and I mean, like tomorrow night, like if you're watching the women's game tomorrow night, College Charleston's got a big problem.
I'll get fired.
Yeah, you're supposed to be playing.
Which has happened before.
Hey, that'll be real suspect if that happens tomorrow now, Coach, right? Yeah, you shouldn't have said that.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I was talking to Monty about this before the season. I asked him, I said, hey, look, you played for a guy who had it down to a science of how you get thrown out of the game, and Ralph Civitary knew how to get tossed. And generally the guys that tossed him were the guys that he'd been around the longest, you know, David Hoffman and Joe Marion, you know, these umpires have been around forever. Ralph, don't start with me right now, you know, and then he'd drop the F bomb and throw his dip out and he'd come out on the field and they'd toss him. And I said, Monty, do you have like you've been pretty animated, like when they were up at Coastal that. You remember when they were at Coastal that year, and he went off on the first base umpire.
Yeah,
I said, do you have a favorite toss? Like, of course, you know, he kind of sidestepped the quit Monty trying to be Mr. You know, Mr. TV. I said, well, just answer the question, Monty. I mean, come on, man. I don't think it really energized my team. I don't think it really worked like you thought it would work. Probably shouldn't have done that. But you've been thrown out before too. Is there one that you're really proud of? What'd you say to get thrown out?
You know, the umpires are getting really good at it, you know, because I think they know if a coach comes out and their desires to get thrown out to kind of motivate and fuel their team, they kind of, like a lot of these umpires now are saying, hey, do you want to go? Do you want to go? I think I got thrown out at William and Mary, one of my first years here at the College of Charleston, and the guy kept saying, do you want to go? And he asked me three times, and I was like, how many times do you have to ask me if I want to go? I'm standing here. I definitely want to go, you know. I definitely want to go. There's all kind of good stories about getting tossed in baseball games. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with Monty in a way, though. Sometimes it just doesn't work like you hoped it would, you know. I got – thrown out of an NCAA tournament game against Rhode Island when I was in South Carolina. And I thought for sure, if there was ever a time it was going to work, Clark Schmidt was getting squeezed and, you know, nothing going our way. And, you know, we were at home and I just felt it was the right time to go, but it didn't work either. But it did work the next couple of days because we came late some inspired ball and won that regional after losing the first game, which is coming out of regional, you know, after losing game one is awfully hard. But yeah, it's. I feel like Coach Tanner's the same way. He never felt like it would help much. He thinks it's a bit overrated. But I've seen it work. I guess Calipari did it at Kentucky one time, and maybe in Columbia. I guess he got thrown out early. And I know we've all seen it work. It just every time I do it, doesn't seem to work that well. So maybe I need to keep my mouth shut and coach my team.
I will say, Coach Kingston, I asked him this question one time. It wasn't that exact question, but it was something. And I said, what's the magic word? There's got to be a magic word. He said, there's one word and it has three letters, Y-O-U. He said, you could say this sucks all day or that sucks, but if you say you suck, you're gone.
Yeah. You know? Hey, so I got a story about it. Since we're talking about Final Four, NC State, the best one, Jim, the late, great Jim Valvano, you know, was in an argument with the ref, I think at Reynolds Coliseum back at NC State. And he finally looked at the guy and said, hey, you know what? Can you throw me out for what I think of you? And he goes, nah, coach, I can't throw you out for what you're thinking. And he goes, well, good, because I think you suck. You're gone. So, yeah, we've all had some good ones, and Coach Tanner loved to tell that story about Valvano, and yeah, I remembered that. But it's sometimes we give coaching too much credit, you know, sometimes getting thrown out while we might think it's the right thing and we're so mad. And then sometimes we don't want to get thrown out. We're just so damn mad. We think the umpires hadn't done a good job and we want to let them know it. And we just getting thrown out is a byproduct of our anger and our disappointment in the umpires. So, I mean, there is a time or two you do get thrown out and hopefully it'll help your team, but, not all the time.
I don't remember. I'm trying to remember if I ever saw Coach Tanner get thrown out of a game. I don't know that I did.
I think I coached with him all those years, and I don't remember one either. No. Coach Tanner had a great rapport with the umpires, incredible rapport. And after 2000, we won the national championship in 2011. We're sitting on the bus outside of TD Ameritrade. And I mean, obviously the celebration hadn't started yet, but we were on cloud nine and the whole umpiring crew from the College World Series came on our bus to congratulate us. And they didn't do it. They didn't do it to congratulate us because we had won. They did it because of the respect they had for the way we acted, the respect they had for Coach Tanner and our team and our program and how we handled ourselves that year. And that was a cool moment for us. We were on cloud nine, but have the whole umpiring crew come in and shake all our kids' hands and congratulate us. That was a cool moment.
I've never heard that story, and I've never heard that story, period, in college baseball. It says everything that it could possibly say about a program when you handle yourselves that way. And that's how the baseball gods act too, man. You handle yourselves right, you'll get rewarded. If you handle yourself like a jackass, they'll kick you in it, you know?
No doubt.
I'm like you. I'm 1,000%, 1,000,000% convinced that there are baseball gods. They do exist. I'm not so sure if they're the same ones that were around 100 years ago or not. Maybe Tony Gwynn or something is one of them now, or I don't know. But they watch you, and when you act like a jerk, they treat you like one.
No doubt. Go ahead.
You're good.
I played for a coach at North Carolina that the umpires didn't like much because he argued all the time. And every now and again, when it came time to get a big call, you'd feel like you're getting screwed. When I was under Coach Tanner, it was he had such great rapport with the umpires because of the way he argued. And, his line was always consistent. Hey, this is a hard game to umpire. It's a hard game to coach. And it's a hard game to play. We're all in this thing together. But can you make sure you didn't miss that one? He would never raise his voice at an umpire. It was he'd raise his voice at his players and his coaches from time to time. But the umpiring part, he handled with kid's gloves because he wanted the next call to go our way. And more often than not, it worked out for us.
Yeah, it sure did. I do remember, I will say this, and then we'll move on. I do remember, and I 07 or... 08. It was one of those years. It was at the Sarge. It was obviously before you had arrived, but it involved somebody that you know very well, Coach Toman. And it was
I've seen that one.
It was a midweek game. I remember that. And I remember Drew, who was one of my roommates, Drew Crisp, was at the plate, and it was the guy behind the plate, I don't remember who it was. And I'm assuming it probably wasn't somebody that's still around. But he'd had a rough night. He had. It just wasn't very good. And you remember how the Sarge used to be, man. I mean, they were right on top of you. They're crushing this guy. Coach Tanner didn't have to say anything. Nobody has to say anything. He's hearing it. But he did call one on Drew. For those that maybe never knew about this, because it's been a while now, 16 or 17 years ago, and Coach Toman had had enough. The umpire took his mask off and told him to get back in the third base box. And then the next thing you see was a hat land on home plate. he threw that thing like a frisbee, the full 90 feet almost, and proceeded to walk the home plate and kick dirt over over Coach Tanner. Coach Tanner didn't even do anything. He just walked out calmly. Jim, Time to go. And then the balls came on the field. He threw the bucket of balls on the field. I mean, he'd had enough.
Hey, that was the one where he flexed and showed everybody how strong he was too, I believe. All right. Showed everybody the pikes, as Coach Tolman would call it.
They gave him his hat back and he walked as he was leaving. You remember the door to the dugout and down the right. third base, the yep. first base dugout. Yep. As he was leaving to go to the dugout, he walked back up the steps and he tipped his cap to the crowd and walked down.
No. Guy's a beauty, man.
Look in here, big guy. You know, I mean, man. It was so funny. Oh, man.
I'll see these pipes right there.
I'll see these pipes.
like Jim Dirt. Oh, man.
You think these pipes are big? My brother's a circus clown. He can rip a phone book in two. I'm sorry. Me and Coach Tom will go way back.
Oh man, he's so funny, man! God, when he was in Columbia for the regional last year, and I saw him, I gave him a hug. I said, "What are you doing here?" "I'm just me and my boy are sitting down here just watching some baseball." I said, "Well, you're not up there in the suite with Coach Tanner." "No, he already kicked me out. He was tired of me telling him what to do."
I love that guy, man.
Guy. I said, "Yeah,
there'll never be another Jim Thoman."
No, you think about all the guys that coached with Coach Tanner over the years. Every one of them, like yourself, went on to be a head coach. I don't know. Well, Espo, I mean, Espo is a great coach, but he might be like the only one I can think of that. I mean, every other one, Calvi, Coach Myers, Toman, yeah. You, Monty, crazy.
Yeah, we've been blessed. And Coach Tanner showed us a great way. He showed us a great way to do it and do things and treat people and, a big part of my life to that man.
All right. Look, before we let you go. So I texted you this morning and asked you about, about food. All right. So every year, big league ballparks are getting crazier and crazier with food, right? They're getting crazier. They're coming up with all these exotic options. So we've pulled from this year's list of foods. We've pulled three items because you said you're a simple guy at the ballpark. You're give me a burger, give me a dog, or maybe give me some pizza, and then give me baseball. Right.
Right.
Okay. All right. So we've got three items. I don't know which one you're putting up first, Phil. Which one are you putting up first?
Oh, I got the Mets burger. Yeah, let's roll with the Mets burger.
All right. Would you or wouldn't you eat the Mets burger? Now, let me tell you, can you see it? You can see it, right?
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see the reaction. Yeah, he saw it. Yeah.
This is from a website called cheapism.com. And what they do is they rate foods at ballparks and stuff all around the country. This is according to this website, this blogging website, this is the fourth best exotic food in Major League Baseball. And here's what it says. You'll be living large if you grab this show-stopping burger at a Mets game. It's made with the famous Pat LaFreda beef, but it's the toppings that really matter here. Lobster. The burger features a creamy Maine lobster seafood salad, and it's all coated in cheesy lobster fondue, even with it on a fancy fennel bun, because you wouldn't want lobster on a messy hamburger roll. So would you eat a cheeseburger with lobster salad on top?
Yes, I would. And here's why. Because it takes me back to Halls's. It takes me to Halls's eating a steak and beef and lobster mac and cheese. So yeah, I'm in on that one. I'm in on that burger.
That surprised me.
Jamie, I eat everything. I love everything. I love food. And if cheeseburger and lobster in the same sentence, I'm a yes.
I'm in agreement. I mean, that's, you know, two great tastes that would go great together, yeah. Right?
It's hard to screw that up. It'd be like screwing up peanut butter and chocolate. You know, you can't screw that up. So A cheeseburger and lobster, you ain't screwing that one up. I guarantee you that's good. But if it's in New York, I guarantee you don't have to pay for it. What is it? $4.30?
I don't know. I'm sure.
I can only imagine. Yeah, right.
That's a thick patty there. You know, that's probably a half pound patty. So, yeah. All right.
And the beef had a name too, JB. I mean, yeah, this is probably a $50 burger here. Yeah.
All right. I'm in. I'd eat that too. I'd eat that too. Phil, right. You're a yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm trying that one. Yeah. I'm right. Definitely trying that one.
What do you have?
Somebody else's dime, but yeah.
All right. What's the next one?
We're just going to move west in order here. So we're going to pull up the Renegade Dog here.
All right. This is the Renegade Hot Dog in Pittsburgh, right? Okay. All right. The Renegade Hot Dog in Pittsburgh. It's a 12-inch dog topped with shredded beef pot roast, caramelized onions, pickle slices, and mini pierogies.
You know, I think I'm out on that one. the onions and pickles are scaring me a little bit. You know who would be in on that one, though, that we just talked about? Jim Thoman. A Pittsburgh native. He would devour two of those things, no doubt. But the pickles and the onions scare me.
The pierogi. Yeah, there's pierogies on it. I can't. I don't know, man.
If I saw that one at a ballpark, I would look for a corn dog. You know, I'd just go the simple route, look for a corn dog. You know, one of those fair corn dogs that you can dip the corn dog in mustard and ketchup. I would look for that. If I saw that on the menu, I would say no to that. And I'd say, you got any corn dogs? That's what I would say.
All right. I'm a no on this. I can't do the hot dog with pierogi and pot roast, man.
No.
I can do it with
pot roast is scary.
Pot roast on a hot dog, dude. And you have to eat it for 12 inches? I don't know about that.
Pot roast. Pot roast can be a mystery meat too. You might not know exactly what you're eating, depending on what ballpark you're at. So
it's good. It's a good.
Point. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you pull for the Oakland A's. A, you don't know what ballpark you're going to be playing in, and B, who knows if they'll even have food. And whatever food they have, they just put it together, right? All right. Now this one here, this is going to blow your mind. Okay. This is going to blow your mind.
Yeah, this one.
This one here is called the Buffalo Blue Burger. All right. You seeing this? Dude, this is the Buffalo Blue Burger. And, excuse me.
Is that lettuce? Or, I mean, like, here's what I'm trying. Is that lettuce, avocado slices, or edamame? I didn't look at the description. So this is an odd looking one here.
Yeah. All right. This is in Kansas City. It's a bright blue bun to match the team's colors. It's got bacon, blue cheese, buffalo style aioli, lettuce, tomato. But it's the blue coloring that throws me off here, man. Are you in or are you out?
I'm out just because of that. The look scare me. If it's a regular bun, I'd certainly try it. I'd be because the fries look good. The blue bun scared me off, like something you'd get served on in a UFO or something. You know, it doesn't look earthly. It looks like you would eat in outer space or something.
Yeah, like that Monster Whopper they had that like green or black bun. It throws you off.
That bun's scaring me. Yeah, the bun's scaring me for sure.
I just
going to work its magic on your insides.
It's going to work. whatever food coloring they put to make that bun come out like that, that just can't be good for you, dude. It's like they bleached it.
No doubt.
All right.
Those fries look good, though.
The waffle fry. Yeah.
I'm a fan of waffle fries. I can do the waffle fries. All right. So the only thing we've got, we got to write this down. The only thing we've got for Holbrook, he'll go with the Mets burger, but he's out on the blue cheese and out on the Renegade.
I concur. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, lobster cheeseburger, I'm down for that, but the blue bun and the pickles and pierogies on the hot dog, just they y'all got to get out of here with that.
Yeah.
You're trying too hard, Pittsburgh and Kansas City. You're trying too hard.
All right. Before we go, we got a superstar sighting in the Nana Sports chat box here. Will Crow. Will Crow said, son of a blank was the all time quote that you knew coach was getting tossed. Son of a B. That was the quote.
I lost you there. What did Crow say?
Here, I'll throw it on the screen. That way we can see it.
There you go. Crow said, son of a B was the quote that you knew coach was getting tossed.
He probably filtered that. And there were a few worse things than son of a B, I think, you know. But love Will Crow. He always had my back if I did get tossed. But he knew when I said that I was mad. He knew when I said that I was mad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got to get Will on. Will is overseas, as we all know.
He's over in Korea. He's over in Korea. Yeah. It's cool that you're inside the Gamecocks show's getting seen in Korea, man. That's cool.
That's right. Yeah, it's probably
It's always fun when Will drops in because it's from the future. We get Will from the future.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Will, what's tomorrow like? Anything after
how's tomorrow looking, Will?
love it.
All right. Look, man, safe travels to Wilmington. Don't go up there and take care of the Seahawks. And I know when you get back, you'll be back Sunday, so you'll be able to watch both national championship games on Sunday night and Monday night. And we're always pulling for you.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, and our Chim Music followers. I can't wait till next week. We're going to drop an episode from the great Kanika Moore, and she's an incredible performer here in Charleston, and she's the lead singer for a group called Doom Flamingo and Motown Throwdown. She is as talented as any person you've ever seen on stage. If you want to YouTube Kanika Moore singing. She's got so many covers. She'll cover Led Zeppelin. She'll cover Tina Turner. She'll cover Radiohead. She'll cover the Allman Brothers. And she'll cover every Motown sound you can possibly imagine. Incredible talent. Can't wait to have her in our studio. It'll be a great episode next week. And all you music folks in Charleston, in for a treat to hear Kanika.
Cannot wait for that, man. Cannot wait. Always great to see you, Coach. Safe travels, and we look forward to listening next week.
Thank you. Hey, go Cougs, and appreciate you guys.
Always, man. There you go, Chad Holbrook, head coach at the College of Charleston. All right, I know we've got Brad Muller here in just a minute. Let's hit a very quick timeout, Phil. We'll get to the anthem, and we'll get to Brad Muller with our Final Four preview for South Carolina women's basketball right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you
I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another. With a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.